The third annual Super Bowl of Poetry is now history. We do not get closure on this weekend until we chat with the California contingent that helped make it a success. Jack Foley is a widely published poet, critic, and essayist who, with his wife Adele, performs his work frequently in the San Francisco Bay Area. Host of a poetry performance and interview program on Berkeley radio station KPFA, his books include Letters, Lights, Words for Adele, Gershwin, Adrift, and new poetry from California, Dead, Requiem. Adele is an economist and arts activist who specializes in writing haiku, and it's our pleasure to welcome Jack and Adele Foley to the program. Just what an incredible weekend it was. I want to thank you so much because I had a chance to meet you at Bumbershoot and immediately knew that you were someone I wanted to get to know better and someone whose work I think more people should know about. And it was you did not let me down. It was just an amazing weekend. So thank you both.
Well, thank you,
Paul. We were just delighted to be here. We had a lot of fun. And I can't imagine anybody, I mean, we're sort of patting each other's back, but I think rightly, I can't imagine anybody being a better host than you. And we were well treated. And beyond that, which is very important for us because we're part of a community of poets in San Francisco, we know an awful lot of people, and they know us, et cetera. And you brought us into the poetry community here. It wasn't just like, you know, all right, we'll bring them in, we'll have them do their thing and go away. You really brought us into the poetry community here, and we're very grateful for that.
And I want to thank you for recognizing that. And this is a sidebar. I didn't intend to talk about this, but midway through the weekend, or perhaps it was 60% through the weekend, you said something about basically what you said just there. You're getting what we're trying to do here. We're trying to create a community, and a literary community and a broader community. And we'll talk about creating literary communities for writers and how important it is for society. So hopefully we'll get time to do that. And, you know, there's thousands of questions I have to ask. But let's talk, first of all, about the most important thing of the weekend. And that is your performances. Really, there's a sense of transcendence when you perform. I saw this at Bumbershoot, and there were certainly more of it this weekend. When did you first realize poetry's capacity for magic?
Well, actually, I have a story I'd tell. When I was a kid, I was writing, and I was reading Thomas Wolfe and so on and so forth. I was writing prose, singing prose, as they used to call it in those days. And someone told me, and I was writing some songs. My father had written some songs when he was in vaudeville. And so I was writing these songs also. I was playing the guitar and writing these songs. And someone told me to go read Gray's Elegy Written in a Country Churchyard. And so I did. I went out and got it. I really didn't think it was going to be much of an experience. It was a poem written in the 18th century. I was a kid living on the East Coast in the United States. You know, I was about 15 years old. I'm not going to like this. I read it, and it blew my mind entirely. And I can go back now and see that there were ways in which it reflected some of my own feelings, attitudes, and so on and so forth. One can see that. But at the time, I didn't know it. All I knew was it seemed to me the most beautiful thing I'd ever encountered. I won't say seen, because I felt it as something that was sound-based. And I immediately sat down, wrote my own version of the poem. It hit me so hard, I didn't even call somebody up and say, hey, I find this great thing, you got to read it. It wasn't like that. It was that I want this to have come out of me. It seems so deep and so close to me. So I wrote my own. And if that isn't magic, I don't know quite what is. I talk about, and other things happened later. Charles Olson was a great influence. I think that in certain ways, oddly enough, as one writes a poem, one may be recapitulating that initial experience of ecstasy when you first felt it. It wasn't like I thought, oh, gee, I can do this. Some people recently have thought of poetry as something you can do if you can't play the guitar and sing, you know, et cetera. You can't, you know, can't rap.
Which so, you can.
Yeah, I can play the guitar and sing. Exactly.
So much for that theory.
So much for that. Exactly. You want it to do something different. You don't want it to be a substitute for anything, you know. When Shelley said that poets were the unacknowledged legislators of the world, I'm not sure I believe it quite in those terms, but what he's talking about there is a feeling of ecstasy. If you bring someone, and that's the only word I can sort of think of for it, if you bring someone to that feeling, then they're going to be a better person. You too, if you can get to that feeling, you'll be a better person, at least for the 5 minutes you're there.
Well, if poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world, all I want to know is where's the payola? where are the bribes, you know?
That goes to the acknowledged legislators.
unfortunately, yeah, yes. That's the way it works. Adele, what do you think is the key of your ability in performance to create magic?
Well, first of all, proximity. I was there, and Jack was writing choruses, and he wanted somebody else to be in the choruses. Now, I had some experience in acting and drama, and I'm a ham, let's face it. So it seemed sort of a natural extension just to get up there and do that. And I didn't know all the things he was going to make me get up in front of an audience and do. He made me get up and sing. He's had me get up and kind of hit myself on the head with something that made a noise at one time.
I'm having a flashback to a Bill Viola video installation there.
And it was something we could do together, which worked out really well. I think I made an unconscious decision at some time that I was going to be part of this world, because poetry was clearly a world. And to be a partner with my husband, I was going to be in this world. And I'm really happy I did it.
Yeah, your timing is impeccable.
Well, we practice a lot, too. You know?
Yeah. She's mostly the timekeeper for these pieces.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I just sort of go along, but she knows where we are.
I think it might be really a good idea to do a duo piece, if that's possible. I know that's not what we'd planned before we started the interview, but to really get a sense of that magic that you create when you both recite something together would be a good idea, because then anyone listening would begin to know what I'm talking about rather than have it in the abstract sense. So let me remind our listeners that we're talking with Jack and Adele Foley. They're a couple of poets from the Bay Area. Jack's a widely published poet, critic, and essayist who is also a radio guy working for Berkeley radio station KPFA, and we hope for many, many years to come. And Adele is an economist and arts activist who specializes in haiku. So what do you think would be a good thing to read?
Well, probably Overture Chorus, which was the first of these choral pieces that I wrote for the two of us. This piece was originally, I wrote a couple of choruses for a friend's play, and this piece was originally written for that purpose. The play was never produced, and it took me 10 years, really, before we started to do these choruses regularly. I wrote it in the 70s. There exists, actually, we have a son who's 26, and there exists one tape of us doing it. And you know the way a dog howls when music is played?
Oh, yeah.
Our son did that. It's a remarkable tape.
Did you?
He wasn't speaking at the time.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, did you wrap him with a rolled up newspaper after?
No. It was entirely his choice. We weren't expecting it. But there was sounds like, ooh.
See, he wanted to be part of the act, too.
That, in those days, yes.